Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And welcome to the Lord's House. Father, we ask today your blessing, your anointing, Father, upon me as I deliver the message that you have laid upon my heart. And Father, help those that hear to receive the word that you have for them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was listening to someone, I believe, on television bringing a message several weeks ago, and I wrote down a little note, and it laid on my desk for a couple of weeks, I guess, but it was just the words, "It's me." And I recall that there was a song that I used to hear sung years ago. I don't even remember the last time I heard this song. It was just simply titled, "It's Me, O Lord." Or "Standing in the Need of Prayer" is the actual title. It's an old African-American spiritual song. It was written sometime prior to 1925. Nobody knows exactly when it was written or who wrote it. It's been published in at least 26 hymnals over the years. But the chorus to that song goes, "It's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me. It's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer." And so many times I think about that. We are standing in the need of prayer. The verses to that song are very simple, and you can look it up on the internet. If you want to Google it, just simply Google "standing in the need of prayer." And the first line is, "Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord." Second is, "Not the preacher, not the deacon. It's me, O Lord. Not my father, not my mother. It's me, O Lord. Not the stranger, not my neighbor. It's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer." And you know, if we find ourselves standing in the need of prayer, actually having our lives turned over to God and saying, "Lord, I need your help. I need you in my life. I need you to work in my heart and my spirit and my soul in my daily walk. I need you in every aspect of my life." How much better things would be for us as we walk this road that we walk. Today we have what's referred to as the me generation. In the United States at least, and I suspect that probably it's spread pretty much around the world, some places more so than others. But it's a term referring to the baby boomers generation, and that's where it started. But it just continued to get worse. And it's the self-involved qualities that some people associated with in the 1970s were dubbed "Me Decade" by writer Tom Wolfe. And Christopher Lask, was another writer who commented on the rise of a culture of narcissism among the younger generation of that era. And it may have started with the baby boomers, but it has continued on to where we are living in a generation now that their only concern is me. What is in it for me? It doesn't matter how it affects, how it hurts, how it hinders someone else. Only how does it benefit me? 3 years ago, Time magazine published a cover story called The Me, Me, Me Generation. Millennials are lazy, entitled narcissists who still live with their parents. These are not my words. That's the words that were published in Time magazine 3 years ago. And we're living in a day when it seems like most people are only concerned about me. And I want you to think about that. Just look as you go out in public and see how many people are only concerned about me. It doesn't matter. Don't help someone else. You take their spot. Me, I'm first. I deserve more. I deserve this. I deserve that. Me, me, me. That's all we hear anymore. I know I read daily traffic reports for the area where I live. And I live in an area that 15 years ago there wasn't a lot of traffic. But today the area has grown, more population, traffic's increased. And I read every day of someone commenting, "Well, I was going down the road and apparently I wasn't going fast enough for somebody else, even though I was doing 5 miles more than the speed limit. They cut me off. They gave me some obscene gesture. They did this or they did that." Because they are only concerned about me. It doesn't matter what the rules of the road are. They're only concerned about me and getting me to where I want to go. To witness all of this, all you've really got to do, as I said, is go out and mingle with people. And it's much more than the so-called me generation. It affects people of all ages. You know, a little kid, maybe a year old, sometimes they really don't know much more than to look out for themselves. And you can kind of expect a little bit of me out of them. But yet we find people in their 50s and 60s, and even older sometimes, are acting like one-year-olds when they get out among people. It's me. Their only concern is themselves. And this is pretty much what God's Word tells us is going to happen in the last days. And I've been reading some books on prophecy lately. I really enjoy prophecy. I enjoy reading about last days events that are going to take place, some that have taken place in my lifetime, and how it's all coming to a head according to what the Bible had to say. And one of the things I believe it points out very much is the generation that we live in. The me generation. Here's what God's Word says will happen in the last days. And first of all, I want to point out, as the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write this letter to Timothy, he's referring to things that will happen to the days that we live in. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul the Apostle writes to his son in the Lord, Timothy, beginning in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, doesn't that describe the me generation? Doesn't that just describe the generation that we are living in right now? Doesn't that just describe what we are seeing taking place all around us on a daily basis? Covetous. Mine, mine. You know, you could expect that from a 2-year-old, maybe. But you see, grown adults, mine, mine, mine. Boasters. I did this. I did that. Yesterday, I happened to be seated next to someone while I was waiting on an appointment. And he proceeded to tell us about all the things that he had done. And I felt kind of sorry for the guy. My wife and I talked about it later. Maybe he was just lonely and needed to talk. But he was telling you of all the great things that he had done. And we find people like that today. I don't care if it's in the secular world or in the church world. We find those who are boasters. Sometimes we see preachers get up and talk about themselves. And I could name one that just came to mind. I'm not going to name his name. But I remember sitting through an entire sermon where he talked about himself. And I'll have to tell you that I vowed I'd never go back to hear him again. Because his whole message was about what he had done and himself. Boasters. And we find people boasting all the time. Proud. There are certain things that we need to have pride in. As an American, I have pride in my country, although I fear for my country and what it's doing right now and the things that it's going through and the paths that it has taken. But yet I am proud to be an American citizen, just as people of other countries are proud to be citizens of the country they live in. And there's nothing wrong with having that, but being proud of all of what I have done, being all puffed up. Blasphemers. Do you know that if they applied the censorship rules to television that were applied during the 1950s and the at least early 1960s, that probably 50 to 70% of all the language on television would be beeped out? You wouldn't hear it. You'd see lips moving, but you wouldn't hear a sound because they would bleep the words. It's amazing to me what they get away with anymore on television. And I'm not talking cable channels that, pay-per-view or anything like that. I'm talking over-the-air television that's available to anyone. Blasphemers. Things that are spoken against God. Things that are spoken against the children of God. I was reading an article just earlier today where in one particular country you can no longer adopt a child if you are a Christian because you might not let them have their freedom of choice to live their life in whatever decadent way they want to live it. Some places you can't hold public office, even here in the United States, or it's hard to if you're a Christian, because the people won't vote for you. The party will come out against you. Oh, folks, we're living in the last days. Disobedient to parents. My wife works a little part-time job for a school district. And she tells me about how disobedient and how disrespectful some of these kids are. And she sees some of them interacting with their parents. And we see it in church sometimes. We see it on the street. We see it when we're out shopping. Disrespect, disobedience. It goes on in verse 2 to tell us the unthankful and unholy. Boy, that describes the generation that we're living in right now. unthankful, and unholy. In verse 3, it goes on to read, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. And we see that all the time. People being falsely accused. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Sometimes people won't like you simply because you are a good person. I don't want anything to do with them because they're a goody two-shoes. I remember a couple of years back, I was in a Facebook group that had to do with the area where I grew up and the school I attended. And there was one person who just loved to boast on there about all the things that he did growing up. Things he had stolen, the lies he had told, the various things that he had done. And I just really kind of got sick of it. And one day I posted, really, we don't need to know all of your misdeeds. Now, I know the statute of limitations was passed everything, and he wasn't worried about that. But he was just bragging on all the bad things that he had done. Well, he responded to my post, calling me a goody two-shoes and a few other names, and blocked me. But that's okay. But that's the attitude of a lot of people that we live in today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We see that in the church a lot. Oh, I can't be at church today because I've got to go do this or I've got to go do that. Now, I understand there are times you can't be at church because you've got to work. I understand there are times you can't be at church because you've got to take care of some family business that came up unexpectedly. I understand sometimes it's illness. I understand there are legitimate, good reasons as to why you may not be in church. But because we've got to go do something for our pleasure. And I even understand missing church when you're on a vacation for maybe 2 weeks out of the year. But some people, they find a reason of pleasure to not attend to the things of God almost every day of the week. Several years back, there was a record that came out, and at the moment, the gentleman's name escapes me, but it was called Phone Call from God. And you might want to look that one up on the internet as well while you're at it. And I'll tell you, it rings home with a lot of people because they find they were doing the things that are mentioned in that little song, as it is, that's on this particular recording. Having a form of godliness. There are a lot of people today that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And I see it in the news all the time that so-and-so of such-and-such church has stood up and said they don't believe what the Bible has to say about something in particular. They don't believe that. I even read of one place that the pastor was an atheist. And I really to this day cannot figure how someone could have a pastor of a church that didn't believe in God. Doesn't make sense. But this is the age that we're living in. Last part of verse 5, from such, turn away. There are some folks out there that today you don't want to have anything to do with. Bible tells us that. Okay, I know. We're reading that from the King James Version. Some of the words there we're not as familiar with today as we were a few years back. I want to read it to you from the another version, the CEV. A little more modern English. I want to read this the whole thing through. It says, you can be certain that in the last days there will be some very hard times. People will love only themselves and money. Bingo! Boy, that's so true. They will be proud, stuck up, rude, and disobedient to their parents. They will also be ungrateful, godless, heartless, and hateful. Their words will be cruel, and they will have no self-control or pity. These people will hate everything that is good. Look at the political world today. I just want you to sit back and look at the political world. If it's good, they hate it. They will be sneaky, reckless, and puffed up with pride. Instead of loving God, they will love pleasure. Even though they will make a show of being religious, their religion won't be real. Don't have anything to do with such people. Boy, doesn't that make you think when you read it that way? There's people out there like that. We all know them. Maybe you're listening and you're one of them. I don't know. But for some reason, God laid this message on my heart, and I'm giving you to the words as God gives them to my spirit to speak to you. If you're going through these things, I want you to know that there is a cure. Just as we mentioned the chorus of that song, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Every last one of us is standing in the need of prayer. We all are standing in the need of prayer. We are living in an age that the Bible spoke about and speaks about today. Events that have taken place and events that are yet to come. But we can see things that were prophesied that were 50 years ago we couldn't understand. Yet they were prophesied 2,000 years ago or more. And we are seeing the fulfillment of those things. Folks, it's time to get your heart and it's time to get your life ready with God. Someday, we will all meet God one way or another. Our message last week was, all roads lead. Eventually, I don't care who you are, you will stand before God. Either for the rewards that are going to be given to you as a Christian, as a child of God, or you're going to stand before God in judgment for never have accepting the sacrifice and the price that He paid for your salvation. And in that judgment you'll receive eternal damnation. That's God's word. That's just not Ken Unger speaking. That's the word of God. And if it's the word of God, I accept it. I believe it. I know it will happen. As I mentioned, I've been reading some other books on prophecy, books that were written in some cases thousands of years ago, that line up with things that the Bible talks about and prophesies about. These events are happening. We're living in a day when we don't know what the next moment is going to break. The events of the book of Revelation, some of those events that talk about all the disasters that are going to befall planet Earth in the last few years before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up His kingdom, they're at hand. They could happen any minute. Just this week, the threat was made that could set off those events. It could happen. It could happen by the time some of you hear this message. I urge you today, I want you to think about me, yourself. Are you right with God? Are you sure you're right with God? Do you have everything in your life lined up according to God's Word? Most importantly, did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? His death on the cross for your sins is of no meaning if you don't accept it. And so many have never accepted the work that He did on the cross of Calvary. But you can today, my friend. It's so simple. This is one time I want you to really think about me, yourself. Am I right with God? Have I done something that I shouldn't have done? Even as Christians, sometimes we need to sit down and do a little self-examination. God, am I really living the way you want me to live? Am I really being obedient to your word? Am I really doing what you've spoken to my heart to do? I know sometimes it's tough. He never said it would be easy. But the rewards are great. And failing to do so is eternal loss. Oh, think about it. Eternal separation from God. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to ask Him into your heart right now. If you really mean it, just simply say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I ask you into my life right now, and that your shed blood would wash away my sin, and that I will now be a part of the family of God. In Jesus' name. And if you've done that, I want you to know there's rejoicing in your behalf going on in heaven as the angels praise God around the throne, saying, your name has come into the kingdom, is now a child of God. And if you've done so, please let us know. We're not going to put you on some mailing list. We're not going to ask you for money. All we just like to know is that, yes, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or if today's message has been a blessing, let us know. The announcer's going to tell you how in just a moment.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.